Now, as I mentioned it there, Australia has been assisting the Philippines up until this point with drone operations, information gathering and the like. How extensive has this aid been?
It's been fairly extensive up to this point in the sense, well, it's been responsive really to requests from the Philippines in terms of what sort of equipment they need. And there's already existing security cooperation agreements in place with the Philippines that this is built on. And there's already an aid program that focuses specifically in that region on peace and security. So it is building at some level on existing arrangements, but Australia understandably wanting to upscale given the scale of the threat.
Well, just how much further would this upscaling go?
It's a good question. It does seem likely that it would be restricted to training personnel, which is actually consistent with the existing agreement they have now. So it would not involve, at least in my understanding, Australian troops actually participating in anything like conflict, but rather helping Philippine troops prepare for counter-terror measures and for trying to take and secure those areas.
Now, the Philippines president has, stated some concerns about relying on foreign countries in assisting their attacks on ISIS, or indeed their battles with ISIS. Now, I can certainly understand being a little bit wary of foreign countries coming into your soil in order to fight really anybody, but I think with ISIS sort of knocking on your front door, you'd think you'd need all the help you can get. So what is his actual concerns? What kind of concerns have actually been outlaid?
There's a couple of different ones, not all of them explicit. One concern, in the Philippines, this is a particularly big issue because, of course, it's only a very new country and was under Spanish colonial rule until the early part of the 20th century, and then under American rule, really until after, occupied, of course, by Japan during World War II. So it's really only post-World War II that we're talking about the establishment of the Philippine state. So they are, for historical reasons, I think, particularly wary about the idea of other troops on Philippine soil. For Duterte specifically, though, for the current president, he has positioned himself as a strong man politically. He's the one who gets things done and makes the difficult, sometimes violent decisions to secure law and order. But he's also reached out a little bit to China of late. So there's a sense that he doesn't want to be seen as relying on international support to fight this in general, but specifically doesn't necessarily, of all Philippine leaders we've seen since Marcos, really, about the least likely to reach out to the West for that type of support.
Now, looking at, not just the concerns for the Philippines, but obviously the concerns for us here in Australia, ISIS have actually recently said in a propaganda video, they've gone and called Australia the US's guard dog. In sort of drawing this kind of attention, in intervening in these kind of fights, are we buying ourselves into more danger, not just for Defence Force personnel, but for Australia itself?
Look, it's a good question, and the parallels here to the sort of post-2001 war on terror context are really, really evident, both in the sense that, you know, Australia was portrayed as the deputy sheriff by groups like Jemaah Islamiyah, obviously, in Indonesia, and the sense that actually Australian participation in the war in Iraq was making Australia more of a target. That seems fairly irrefutable. In this instance, the scale of training probably wouldn't be enough to really change the strategic sort of threat associated with terrorism for Australia that significantly. But there is an ongoing threat associated with ISIS, obviously. And paradoxically, what we've seen in Europe is that the scale of terrorist threat has increased as success has been found on the ground against ISIS in places like Iraq. A lot of those who had been radicalized, not now responsible for fighting Iraqi and coalition forces in Iraq, have been pushed out and are basically sort of taking to the streets of Western capitals. That's in part the weird dynamic that we're looking at, that some of the success in Iraq has actually pivoted some of ISIS's operations towards the sort of war on terror style terror attacks that we've seen of late.
But something I assume Australian security forces would be well prepared for if there are increased levels of threat, given this kind of intervention. Australian security forces would be amping up their level of preparedness as well.
Absolutely. But what we know from the war on terror and what we know from the types of strategies that have been employed by ISIS in Western Europe is that total security is not going to be possible. We also know that a military-based response to the threat posed by ISIS is also probably not just not going to be enough, but in some instances it could be self-defeating in terms of creating conditions for radicalisation within Australia. So that's a real concern for Australia as well, getting that balance right between being seen as basically coming down, having a military-based response to this versus a long-term orientation towards dealing with the conditions in which people support or participate in those types of activities in the first place.
And Matt, perhaps just, a little bit outside the wheelhouse, but Rodrigo Duterte, as you mentioned there, he's got a bit of a reputation. He's got a fairly violent reputation in some of the things he's taken part in before this sort of ISIS situation, certainly levelled a lot of global condemnation. And here in Australia, I think our politicians have tried to show a level of condemnation towards the Philippines. If we are seen to be helping out in their sort of situation, would that perhaps give Australia or perhaps just the West some leverage in saying to Duterte, calm it down a little bit on some of the policies you've been following through on previously?
Look, it's a good question. It may be for precisely that reason that Duterte is somewhat reluctant to reach out to the West, that he doesn't want to be then sort of in the West pocket in terms of how he deals with criminality and drug gangs. That's obviously been one of the big issues in the Philippines over the last few years. Australia's been quite keen to say that its intervention here is very much about strategy, about Australian long-term security and the threat of ISIS specifically, rather than, you know, the Philippines as such has been so good to Australia of late. Actually, I think there are some real concerns about the direction that Duterte's taken Philippine politics in. But yes, whether this ends up, whether he has to reach out and that ends up being a basis for pushing a more conciliatory line,